I'm James Baker, and it was my good fortune to cultivate a friendship with the composer Daniel Catan. I knew Daniel primarily through his music, having first encountered it in 1982 when I was working as an orchestra musician in Mexico City. It was a freelance gig, known in Mexico as a hueso, and involved performance of a skillfully made pastorella, a Christmas pageant. I was impressed by what he had written, though when I reminded him of it years later, he dismissed it as an early work, not yet matured. Daniel was like that, a man with high expectations, while at the same time all too aware of the vagaries of the music business. I interviewed Daniel Catan on three or maybe four occasions. By the final time, in February of 2011, we felt we knew each other, though it was only on that fourth instance that we finally sat face to face as we talked. The earlier interviews had all been by phone. 2 weeks after that final interview, Daniel Catan was dead, victim of a heart attack, barely 62 years old. He had his greatest impact in the world of opera, writing with great skill for the voice, especially in his native language of Spanish. He was born in Mexico. His opera, Florencia in El Amazonas, has the distinction of being the first Spanish-language opera commissioned by a major American company, Houston Grand Opera. The work was a three-way artistic collaboration between Catan, Colombian novelist Gabriel García Márquez, and librettist Marcela Fuentes. Here's Daniel Catan telling how the pieces of a complicated puzzle fell into place.
When Rappaccini's Daughter, the opera that I composed to a libretto by Octavio Paz, just about everybody came to hear it in Mexico City. And one of the people that came was Gabriel García Márquez and Álvaro Mutis, who's a very close friend of his and a really great friend of mine. And both Colombian writers absolutely adore opera. And they love the Italian opera as opposed to the German kind of opera, right? Mm-hmm. And they were excited by the idea of opera in Spanish and so on, because there's been very little written in Spanish, that they kind of offered their help for the next one that I would write, not thinking that I was going to, you know, write a second one. So when Houston commissioned a second opera for me, then I immediately went back to them and said, "Well, here I am. You offered your help, and now you can't get out of it." So that's how we started collaborating. Now, writing a libretto is a very tedious and time-consuming activity. So I knew that García Márquez would not have the time to see me, because it would take about 6 months of a very close collaboration. So he agreed to help through the help of one of his trusted, you know, proteges, and that was Marcela Fuentes, who had a lot of experience in writing libretti, not for operas, but for TV and film scripts. And I met her, and we worked very happily together. And then every few weeks we would go back to Gabriel García Márquez. We would read what we had, and he would offer suggestions, and and we would go back. And eventually the whole libretto was completed that way. So it was a very happy form of collaborating with him.
Although Catan was a student of Milton Babbitt, his own musical personality was rooted deeply in the romanticism of Puccini and Strauss.
In the sense that, I'm concerned with some of the same issues that romantic composers were dealing with, like, for example, love and redemption and, what is this life all about. Yes, I'm still in those, asking myself those questions, and my operas are about that. So in that sense, I am very much a neo-romantic, in the sense that I still use harmony, for example, as one of the main tools for organizing my music. Yes, I do. So I'm a romantic in that sense. So, but sometimes people, you know, use the label. Critics use it sometimes through just a laziness to really characterize what they're hearing, and you know, just to say, well, it basically connects with a certain tradition, and that's what it is. And they may say it approvingly or disapprovingly. I definitely want to connect with the operatic tradition, and have come full circle to believing that the power of the voice and the power of opera lies in writing beautiful melodies. That's where it's at. And you know, I'm struggling all the time to find melodies that are going to be mine rather than anybody else's, right? But so that's my intention, and if that comes across in the reviews, yes, I like that.
Florencia and El Amazonas received performances in Houston, San Diego, and Seattle to rave reviews. The recording of the complete work, drawn from the live performances in Houston, is said to be the bestseller in the catalog of the independent Albany record label. Despite all this, Catan was frustrated that it took 10 years before Florencia was finally performed in Europe.
I'm surprised by how much the public identifies with it and how much the public understands it at first hearing, even. That I'm surprised, and I am delighted. On the other hand, that success has to be qualified. You know, even though this opera has been one of the most successful ones in the last, say, 50 years, it's incredibly painful to see that how little it has been performed. The CD, for example, is like the best-selling CD in recent memory. That's what they say, Albany Records that put it out.
Uh-huh.
At the same time, only the three theaters that commissioned it in the U.S. have put it on. Nobody else has wanted to do it or has dared to do it. And, you know, and the European premiere is happening about 10 years after its opening night. So, you know, if an opera like this had the success that this one's had, say, at the beginning of the 20th century, within 6 months, it would have been played in 200 theaters. You know, and now, one of the most successful ones has only been seen in three. So, and three, because they commissioned it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, whilst I am very happy, personally, for my own success, or the success of this particular opera, nevertheless, the general picture for modern music and modern opera is dreadfully depressing.
Thank goodness that the Madison, Wisconsin Symphony commissioned an orchestral suite from Florencia, for this allows the gorgeous score to be heard outside of the confines of an opera house. The symphonic suite draws from 6 scenes in the opera, allowing the listener to experience Catan's beautiful orchestrations, they remind me of Puccini, and his penchant for soaring melodies. There's a bit of the dramatic and the serene within the suite. Daniel Catan's orchestral suite from Florencia in El Amazonas is programmed on this weekend's concert by the San Antonio Symphony, side by side with Samuel Barber's Lush Violin Concerto, as well as Medea's Dance of Vengeance, also by Barber. The program opens with Aaron Copland's El Salon Mexico. This concert features the work of violin soloist Eric Grotz and is conducted by Sebastian Lang Lessing. The Downbeat is at 8 p.m. Friday evening, the 29th, and Saturday, the 30th. I'm James Baker, and I hope to see you down at the Tobin.